This is the world of Salesforce and Dropbox, HubSpot and Evernote, a world unthinkable without cloud software services. Most businesses and consumers use SaaS every day to get work done. Driven by the internet and ever-expanding availability of bandwidth, SaaS has come to dominate our lives in a very short span of time. But developing a defining service, often ahead of its time, getting users to engage, secure funding, protect IP, and building a truly remarkable and successful SaaS is not an easy task. SaaS Stories brings conversations with the dreamers and visionaries who dared to think ahead. How they built their SaaS, genesis, struggles, trials, tribulations, and eventually success.
Welcome to SaaS Stories. Thank you for your time and for joining us on this session. I have a favor to ask. While you continue to listen to the podcast, please leave a comment or rating at iTunes or wherever else you get your podcasts from. I personally look at each comment and will give a shout out to each of you in our next episodes. It means a lot to hear from you. Welcome to this inaugural episode of SaaS Stories. Today, we have with us Vijay Shankar, co-founder and director solutions engineering at Freshworks.
Even mid-market and enterprise customers, they can afford small to start off. So one of the key things with Freshworks products is that you can start small within a big organization. So even if you look at some of the big logos on the website like American Express or Discover, Sling TV, Dish TV, or even Indian companies like PhonePe or all these organizations, right? They all started small. Because one of these IT or one of these CRM members or sales heads, they can start off small, and seeing them adopt, so the small team uses Freshdesk or Freshservice, seeing that this team is doing so well, these larger teams start jumping into the product. That's where the growth goes big for Freshworks, because the product can start small and you can grow up to thousands of people. So like Discover Credit Cards is like a major credit card company in US. They process close to like 2 million customer records in a day. And this is like subscription, joining credit cards, getting a new credit card transactions and going through support and all that. So They started small with the product and they grew up to like 2,000, 3,000 seats or something like that. And with the ecosystem that we have built, a company which is using Freshdesk for customer support can easily plug and play a CRM product. So sales and support can collaborate. So these companies see that, wow, this kind of ecosystem is what we want, because I don't have to go for a separate budget for a consultant. Like if you ask the same to a company to say that, hey, you know what, we have to implement Oracle Service Cloud or SAP, they have to finalize budget. IT has to go and see, talk to the CRO or the CFO saying like, hey, we have to implement a product which is going to cost us $1 million. Even though the budget for IT is only $500,000, can you do something? The CFO is not going to be happy about it. They are going to outright reject that. That's not the case with Freshdesk products. You can start small. You can start free. It could be a $500 which the company can afford within the budget. And then seeing the adoption, seeing the return on investment, they keep on adding more and more agents. That's how we have grown the business, and that's how companies have adopted. And that's the core within the product, keeping it simple for every organization.
Vijay is the co-founder and director of solutions engineering at Freshworks. Before this, he has worked at Zoho from 2006 to 2010. Vijay has played a key role in the development and scaling up of Freshdesk, Freshservice, and Freshchat. He has also played a major role in setting up the US office and now is in the process of setting up the Australian office for his company. Now, on to this entertaining and insightful episode with Vijay Shankar. Vijay, welcome to SaaS Stories. I'm delighted to have you here. And being the poster child of the SaaS success in India, I think it's pertinent that you are talking to us at this stage of the show. I really appreciate and welcome.
Thanks, Subhanjan. Thanks for having me. And Freshworks is a poster child. It's all because of our team and all our colleagues and vision of Girish and our leadership team. So if we are today where we are, it's because of our team members who are kind of even, you know, so resilient. And even during these times, they are like still pushing the code and helping our customers, because it's always like, you know, that's what we have in our heart. That's a passion, like always customer first. So every employee carries that, which is the most important part. And we are happy that the company has that in the gene.
Yeah, great. Because I think percolating the culture, I think a lot of times you have discussions and you talk and you talk of either every company will have a culture. So you have a choice to let it grow as it is on their own. So which means it will be fragmented. It will be each his own, or you can have a deliberate culture. So I guess I completely understand where you are coming from. Just to start off, when all of you were in Zoho and you were thinking of creating a new company, what was going on there? Who started this discussion? Who all were part of this discussion? How did it come about when you said, hey, you know what, we need to go out and create, I think those days you were called Freshdesk.
Yes, that's right.
Before you had changed the name to Freshworks. So how did it come about?
So this is a very unique story. Girish usually starts it sharing his story, side of the story. So he was the VP of Manage Engine, that is Zoho's the IT network management arm. So all these were on-premise products that you install in your environment and use. So he was the VP, and he was in our US operations. So he was headquartered in Austin, Texas, and he actually was returning back from his journey in US. And while he was returning back, he had an incident with his provider, the movers. So he wanted to reach out through multiple channels, and they were not taking his phone calls, or probably there was delay in those phone calls, or they were not replying to emails. So he was kind of frustrated that such a big company, which is taken so much money, is not responding to their customers. So he went on their social media forum and started sharing his feedback. So every other customer of this company kind of understood and woke up, and they also started questioning. So that kind of hit the businesses, the boss level, and they were like, hey, immediately, you can imagine that when it hurts your pockets, the boss calls you and says that, hey, we are so sorry you went through this. So that's when I think Girish had that moment that, hey, social media is going to be the next best thing. And this was around 2009, something like that. So I left the Zoho family in June 2010, and June or May, around that, I guess so. At that time, also Girish and Shan, of course, our CEO and CTO, they had left also. So they wanted to, start off. And I think in around September or July, probably they left. And they started working off in Freshdesk in Velachery, Chennai. They started the ideation, because social customer support was something that was picking up, but nobody had designed something like that.
Right.
And there was also this moment where our competitor was taking some flack for kind of raising their price with minimal features to offer. And all of a sudden there was a comment in Hacker News to any entrepreneur or business owner that I'll give you my money if you can build a better product like them. So kind of Girish had that vision, like, hey, look at this, a customer is frustrated, and they are asking an opportunity, or they're sharing that, hey, there is an opportunity for another organization to come and completely take over this the sector. So that's when I think Girish and Shan had a quick discussion on launching this. And of course, 2-3 months down the line, so they launched Freshdesk. And at that time, the idea was to start off something small. And in February, I returned back to Chennai, and I was in touch with Zoho, because of course we know each other. And so at that time, Girish messaged me on Facebook, and he said that, hey, Vijay, I heard you're coming back. So would you like to meet me? So I said, like, yeah, Girish, definitely. Like anything you say. So we met up at a coffee shop just in. So I don't know if you can Google this place. It's called Keel Kattalai. It's in Chennai. It's in a very remote place. It's like, unless you know it by Google Map, you won't know this place. Mm. But now it's a thriving place because this place has like the honor of giving three awesome startups, right? So Freshworks, ChargeBee, and Woonic. Mm. So now this place might be like well known. So definitely. So we met at this coffee shop. Girish was like just casually talking about like, hey, we launched, and casually he just said, okay, from tomorrow you can join it. So I was like, yeah, of course. So it was like a quick meeting, and actually I was when I joined in, so like I think on February 14th it was like the Valentine's Day. Mm. So 2011, so I'll always remember the date. So I joined in Freshdesk. And I had no clue what I was going to do. So the next day I was talking to my family, and like I was telling them like, hey, you know what, I'm not doing anything. I'm just going to the office, kind of just looking at some code that I don't even understand. I'm just talking to these people, and we just discuss like, you know, what is happening. Then, okay, maybe I don't know what happened. So all of a sudden I started debugging the product. I started like doing some QA work. So then I think that's where I found like, okay, until the product is launched, let's go ahead and do some QA work. So luckily I was not sitting idle all of a sudden. So I was finding bugs, and I started doing some, code analysis wherever they could find some UI bug or product functionality bug. So it was a parallelly, we started getting into speed, and like a lot of our prospects that we had in our pipeline, we wanted to send them a beta invite. So we were able to, just get things rolling.
How did you get this prospect? So you are still in the building stage, and I'm assuming that by this time they had moved out, Girish and Sean had moved out of the 300 square feet place they started, right?
Yes. So as I said, in January, they moved to Kilkatle. That's where we had little bit bigger. So it was like an 800 square feet room. Mm. Girish usually does not spare any expenses when it comes to like, making sure that the work environment is good, and it's healthy, and it's like nicely designed. So so at that time, so what Girish had done was he had launched the website, and we started doing some marketing dollars in Google Analytics, throwing some AdWords. Mm-hmm. So that's where again Girish is decision making, right? So that the gutsy decision before launching the product. So we started to make some blogs, which was really helpful. That's where the idea of social, not just social selling, but social support came into mind, like how you can support someone socially, like they are tweeting about you, they are talking to you on Facebook. Mm. So those kind of ideas started coming up, and we kind of started blogging about those. So customers and prospects started noticing that. Mm. That, hey, this is something new. And with our AdWords, Girish, like gathered some lead gen from the website. So we wanted a small beta testing group. So we sent out an invite to a few of them. A lot of them gave some good feedback on how it takes one click in Freshdesk to three clicks in XYZ product. So kind of like we were gathering those feedback, which was very essential. So at that time, lucky for us, we got some good feedback from Shramana Mitra. So she was helping us on the, with the Microsoft BizSpark startup launch. So we applied for that. And during that time only, the first round funding discussions were happening. You know, that was the moment like we all thought like, oh, wow, we have a validation, and the product is really good, and we have something really good in our hands. Hmm. And Ish went to Bangalore to present for the BizSpark team, and we got the first prize there. Hmm. And afterwards, we got reached out by Axel and some other VCs who met us. Girish met with this company called SP InfoCity. Hmm. So he met the managing director of SP InfoCity, that is Shapoorji Pallonji Group. Hmm. So Girish told him that, hey, look, we are a startup, but we are doing something awesome. So we cannot spare the lacks that Amazon or the other companies are doing, but trust us that we are one of the up and coming, and you will definitely be happier with the decision. So at that time, I think there was some discussion on pricing, but after some time, I think Jair D'Souza, he gave a call to Girish that, hey, Girish, I have an awesome offer for you. Just bring your checkbook. So lucky for us, Mr. Jair D'Souza, he found that Amazon had this lunch hall which was not being utilized. So he got us like 1,200 square feet or probably 1,000 square feet place, which we remodeled. And after SP InfoCity gave us that spot, so we wanted to hire heavily. And that's where luckily we got our first round of funding from Axel. So Mr. Shekhar Kirani, he visited us a couple of times. He had the due diligence. And at that time, we also, even though we had the right product growth, the first customer, the first paying customer, who's still our paying customer, knock on wood, Atwell College from Perth. So they took one demo and they put their card and they bought the product. So that's where we had that, you know, one more moment that, hey, a customer, they just bought the product online by just putting the card. So definitely we are building something beautiful here where you don't need handholding. You know, like that's the moment where we felt like, hey, we should keep things simple, keep it as easy as possible for the users. And of course, there were more and more customers who were going for the free plans. So we wanted to provide more and more like a freemium kind of a model so more customers could adopt and see the difference. And that's where we hired a lot in marketing. We hired a lot of folks in the development side because we wanted to, you know, make sure that we are building at scale and at speed. Luckily for us, a lot of our team members from ex-Zoho members who were kind of in Bangalore or in different companies, a lot of them reached out. So you can say that a lot of time the whole culture kind of was known to us. So what the culture, what it is today, is coming from, like, you know, these people see what how Girish behaves, how Shan behaves, or how Kiran or Shihab feel, or their seniors behave. So they know that, hey, you have to be humble at heart, you have to have customer focus. So you could still see that at that time Girish would sit on customer calls, he will go on demos. So seeing that every employee does the same, they because every product manager also wants to follow that, they want to get on customer calls. So that's where the culture trickles down to every person. So and at that time we were looking to, you know, like push fast. And fortunately or unfortunately, that's where the ripoff or not happened. So I don't know if you know about that. So I had a bad habit. I don't know, good or bad. So what I'll do is every frustrated Zendesk customer, when they tweeted about Zendesk or something or Salesforce, I'll just go and kind of retweet the guy, and I'll kind of tweet the guy saying like, hey, you should try Freshdesk. Hey, you should try Freshdesk. So I recall kind of going after like 10, 15 people. And it kind of became like I was kind of trolling these people. So one day there was an analyst called Ben Keeps. He and Mikhail Swain, the CEO of Zendesk, kind of tweeted that. Ben Keeps, he kind of tweeted that looks like these guys from Freshdesk are unethical trolls, and it looks like a ripoff of Zendesk. So that's where Mikhail Swain, the CEO, he has a very weird a profile picture where he's kind of ripping off his shirt and showing the Zendesk logo. So he also tweeted about it saying like, yes, definitely a ripoff. And there were these other bloggers and other Twitter community. They said like, hey, bunch of Indian cowboys. So we kind of got hurt about that. And our marketing team at that time, we had Srilesh, and he's our general manager in Australia. So him and Vikram Bhaskaran, so he was also in our marketing team, and Girish. So because Girish is a marketing product guy, right? So he knows how to take advantage like anything. So he sat with Srilesh and Vikram Bhaskaran, and along with Parsu, they created like a website called ripofornot.org. Within like 3 to 4 hours, they brought in like a lot of customer feedback who said Zendesk is bad and Freshdesk is better. So we kind of and it went viral. So even if you go to Ripoff or Not and just Google it, you'll see that everybody started blasting Zendesk like anything. So because Zendesk, the term desk was not something that Zendesk had patented, because there was like vision help desk, there was help desk, there were like IT help desk, service desk, so many. So that kind of became it kind of backfired on them. So we had a huge following in Hacker News, and everybody started signing up. So luckily for us, it became a boon, and Zendesk kind of took it in a bad way. So they kind of had to back off a bit on the marketing front. So but luckily for us, it became like a lead gen machine. So that's where we wanted to capitalize on the lead gen, started doing more and more with the like the development cycle of things. So that's one thing that Girish keeps telling us, that we have an opportunity to build a world-class company from Chennai, right? So like he used to tell us that, hey, Skype was from Europe. We have so many other companies out of India. How many companies can you say they are from India? How many product companies, right? So like, because India was known as a services destination.
Absolutely.
So even now, like you have TCS, Wipro, HCL, and Cognizant, so like, or Infosys, right? So there is hardly any product company, but now the whole balance has changed. We have more and more startups now coming out of India. So that was at that time, Girish's vision was that, hey, we can be a world-class company from India. And I think that trickled down to these new kids who joined us. And at the end of 2011, we, of course, after the first round of funding, we got 100 customers after the launch of the product in 100 days. That was also another milestone. So we kind of wanted to hire more on sales because we wanted to increase the lead gen. So we hired a couple of other fellows. And we also wanted to like look at the product growth with, it was not just social selling, social support. It was also about how can we be different. So that's where we planned out. Of course, we had our first product manager, Abhishek, who joined us. And he was the first product manager for Freshdesk. And we also wanted to branch out and say that, hey, how different are we? So that's where we launched a gamification within customer support, which nobody had done. So kind of it was kind of like an easy, like a no-brainer, because customer support was a very mundane job. Nobody gets thanked for, of course, on the phone, you could simply just thank a customer support person saying like, hey, thank you. And that's it. The relationship ends there. Right. So like, what about the other person? This person could be taking, 20 calls a day, and like how much are we motivating them? So that's when Girish and the product management team, they kind of wanted to launch a gamification module in the system. So like when you are resolving tickets or taking phone calls and closing them, you get bonus points. And when customer gives you satisfaction rating of, like an awesome, so you can kind of get a badge. So it kind of motivates the team member We saw that take off like anything. So because customers were finding that to be really motivating the teams and keeping them happy, like, hey, so that was kind of like a viral thing that took off. And lucky for us, we got our, and this was almost the end of 2011, this when Tiger Global, another venture capital, so another VC started noticing us, and we kind of Girish, of course, met with Lee Fixel, who is the Tiger Global, CEO or managing director, I guess. So he also kind of was impressed. And along with Google, we had our next round of funding. And we kind of, I believe around when was that? In around April 2012. Yeah. So December we launched our we announced our Axel funding.
What was the quantum Axel funding?
1 million. Yeah. Okay. This was 1 million. So yeah, this is all public news, right? So Axel invested 1 million, and then in April, so this was like in a span of four to five. We got noticed by Axel. So Axel kind of funded, I mean, along with Tiger Global. So they came on board with 5 million round funding. And that's when we took off like anything. 2012 was one of the years where we kind of shot off with the product launch. We were launching products, features faster, and adoption was picking up. So that's where a couple of fellows from our team, I mean, from marketing, they joined us in pre-sales and support. So more people were interested to, you know, like to get into that support model. So supporting and using the product to support the customers.
So once again, Vijay, one quick question. That 100 customers in 100 days, which was the one of the major milestones you hit in 2011 end, how did that come about? Where these pipelines were coming from? Where?
No. This was not 2011 end. This was after the launch of the first product, after the BizSpark win. So we won the BizSpark in 2011 June or July, I believe June, July. At that time, we launched the product. In 3 months, June, July, August, I think around August timeline is when we got our 100 customers. And we had a sign-up engine. So on our website, there were AdWords. So Girish was investing on AdWords. And luckily, when he got the award for the BizSpark, he invested the amount in AdWords.
Okay. So, and this was like global clients. We are not focusing on India or anything.
Yes.
So you're investing in North America, you're investing in Europe and so on.
Europe, UK, everywhere.
And what was the average, you know, customer value, annual customer value at that point?
So at that time, so we calculated only the MRR and of course the annual revenue at that time. I don't recall what was the annual revenue at that time, but we were having an ARPU, that is a revenue per user, of close to 20 to 25 or 22.
Okay. Per month.
User. That was, annual revenue per month. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So, it's about between $250 to $300.
Yes, right. Okay. So if you average it out at those 100 customers, even not 100 of them were paying customers, right? So we had three plans. We had basic, pro, and premium. So premium was something for $29. Pro was $19, and basic was free, which we then rebranded and we gave it for $9. And then we had a Sprout. We rebranded the plans also.
Right.
So. At that time, it was 9/19/29, and after this, so we also had like a startup offer or something like that, where we were giving 3 users free for startups and all that. So we hit 100 users in 100 companies, 100 accounts in 100 days in 3 months timeline, which helped us with some revenue.
Right.
And at the same time, got the funding also from Axel. So that was keeping the engine going. And we, Girish invested the amount from BizSpark award to, that was like $40,000. He invested that in Google AdWords, and he gave Kiran an iPad, and I took the cash because I had to pay the EMI. So we invested that. So, I mean, Girish invested that in marketing AdWords. So we were getting lead gen. I mean, we were having a lead gen going on. So we had users signing up. So Google AdWords was the biggest thing for us at that time. So and blogs were going on.
Right. And you, do you remember anything as to what Mr. Kirani was telling you guys in terms of, did he make any, you guys shift any thought process, or was he sort of going along with what Girish was doing when Axel came in?
So at that time, I think the biggest advantage with Mr. Kirani was he was guiding Girish on the business side of things. He was introducing them to Shan and Girish to the other CEOs and CTOs of the other companies who are kind of in the same boat as us. And Girish had a plan. So when he pitched to Axel itself, he had a plan for the next 1 year of growth rate, how it is going to be, how it is going to be for the hiring. So Mr. Shekhar Kirani had a very good grasp on that. So he understood that, hey, what Girish has planned is something in their what they had planned is kind of matching,
right?
So we don't have to bring in any changes or something like that. But he was very guiding on the business side, like hire more,
right?
like introducing on good people to hire, good product manager, because we had our product manager very late, right? So Girish was doing product management, he's also raising funding, he was also doing marketing. So kind of you needed everything to be branched out, so you need someone to focus only on the product separately, right? So Mr. Kirani was helping in that front, whereas Shan was taking care of the technology part with Kiran Chihab. So it was all like running parallelly and smoothly for us. So everything came in places.
So your new funding has come. So what happened then?
So after the funding is where, luckily for us, the gamification launch happened,
right.
And we took off viral. And I think by the end of 2012, we were on like a 5,000 mark customer mark, and I believe in the same timeline, like after the funding announced by Axel, and close to September 2013. I mean, during these time it was all parallelly, with all a new set of people being hired. I think we hit like 50 people in 2013 almost, I recall. So we moved from the first floor office to a seventh floor office. So again, we had a big expansion there. So Girish spared no expense. So we kind of hired lot of engineers again from Sastra, because we were connecting well, and Shankar Ganesh and Ramesh, they were talking about their stories, so they were able to pull in more and more people. So in 2013 we launched we were in plan for the next product to be launched.
Okay.
And there was another round of funding by Axel and Tiger Global. So they again pitched in 7 million. So at this time, again, it was combined. So during this time, we closely hit 10,000 customers.
And do you remember the ratio? How many were the freemium and how many were paid at this point?
I would say 40-60, 40% paid and 60% were free.
Okay.
Because a good thing for us, these free customers were adopting and upgrading easily.
Right.
So with the feature parity and advanced features that we were launching, so the adoption, the switch from a free plan to a paid plan was made easier with more product adoption features, help articles that we were publishing. So customers were curious. So a lot of companies, they make it a little bit, at that time they had it a little bit difficult. So if I may take an example of an organization is using a product like Oracle Service Cloud or Oracle E-Business Suite, they cannot try out a product or they cannot trial Oracle Service Cloud. You have to pay them probably $1 million, bring in 10 or 15 people, try out for 3 months. If you're not happy, there's nothing you can do. It's like sitting like a white elephant. You have to pay more and more to feed that. So we were kind of breaking that, and we were kind of making it easier for people to subscribe. And SaaS, that's the model with SaaS, right? So keeping things simple and making sure that users can upgrade, downgrade whenever they want without having to have this payment issues and all that. So we were kind of seeing that, our products were being adopted for a different model. For example, if you look at customer support, it's talking to external customers. We were seeing that employees are also customers of are customers of IT. So if you have a laptop which is not working, or if you have a mouse that needs to be replaced, where do you go? Our customers were kind of submitting everything in Freshdesk. And having that background, ITIL and ITSM, so Girish found that, hey, let's launch the next product called Fresh Service. And I think the plan was going on 6 months to 8 months early on. We were seeing the adoption for internal ticketing. So Girish, along with Shihab, who was the product manager for Fresh Service, we launched Fresh Service in December 2013. And that product took off like anything because it was designed for specifically targeted audience, like service desk people, IT service folks, IT service management folks, ITIL experts or ITIL foundation users. So that struck a chord easily. And today that is one of the fastest growing product. I mean, second fastest growing product, because it was easy to sell a technology, because customer support. Of course, you have to kind of explain the whole idea of multi-channel, having telephony, having social, having ticketing, case management. But ITIL is process, right? So you don't have to tell someone that, hey, your team should follow an audit process, right?
Right.
So if you tell a CIO that, do you want an audit or not? Do you want an audit report or not? They will say yes, because I am going to be audited by someone else. So I, of course, need ISO certification for my company. I do need SOC 2 certification for my company. So it's easier to sell that product. So Fresh Service was launched. And by God, I also love Fresh Service because I'm an ITIL expert. So I struck a chord there. So at that time, within my team, I was handling support, and there was a pre-sales team which I branched out, saying like, hey, you guys take care of pre-sales. You guys are good. So I hired my, of course, in between, I hired my first support mate, Arjun Paliyat. So he was actually a kid, and you will not believe the story. So he was actually out of college, and this guy was like in Chennai, there is a place in it's called Ritchie Street. So they sell mobile phones. They like kind of sell these Dubai smuggled or US smuggled phones. Not smuggled, but like, yeah. You know, guys will, the US guys, they will travel and they'll just sell it there for half price. So this guy was working in a shop. And so this kid, even though he is like a smart kid, he was like fresh out of college, and he was just chuma time pass for that. He was working in that mobile shop. So he met with Shihab, and Shihab introduced me to him. I mean, they both were traveling. So they both were in the same train. So he was traveling from Kerala. So Shihab met him and he introduced to me, and by God, we connected well. And this kid was very nice, jovial kind of a guy, and he's still with us, luckily. Very techy, geeky guy who kind of tries to navigate stuff and tries to explore stuff. So he was our support hire. And after that, another marketing team member, her name is Annapurna. So she was also like, one day Girish told me like, hey, you have this lady, Annapurna, she's from marketing. Would you like to hire her? I said like, yeah, fine, that's fine. The more, the better. So we had our first lady in our support team, which we usually don't have, like, because at that time it was night shift. So yeah. I said to Annapurna that, okay, you take care of UK and Europe. You have the, you know, like a penchant for support. So because she was talking well to customers. So even if it is a 1 hour call, that is okay. As long as the customer is happy and the customer shares more and more stories about the product and usage. So you're doing that good. So you do that. And very good kid. Lucky for us, she got an award for the best customer success rep. So she got awarded by Totango. Totango is another customer success product company. So it was a happy moment for us because we got, I mean, one of our team members got recognized. So we were really happy, and she's doing wonders today. So she was like one of the star performers. And at that time, we were also hiring more and more people in night hours. So our support team grew, actually.
Right.
So being a customer support product company, you need to have that customer focus. So, and that's where I felt that, okay, maybe the freshness product has seen, I mean, from the support point of view, have seen the enough growth. Maybe I could help Fresh Service. Because my usual mode is like, you know, help a team grow it and then move on. So I cannot sit like at one place doing the same thing again and again. I kind of get into a rut. So I asked Shihab that, hey, shall I take care of Fresh Service? So he's like, yeah, do it right away. So I told Girish. So he said, like, yeah, go ahead, do that. So I moved to Fresh Service product. So at that time, I wanted to do both pre-sales and support. So luckily for us, we had some good sales members at that time. Like our sales team was growing at 50 people. And Fresh Service was launched.
So these people were all doing remote sales?
Yes, they were all in our Chennai office.
So they were like lead gen and then call and demo and that sort of inside sales kind of role.
Yes, exactly. Inside sales. Yeah. So 2014, we got introduced to Google Capital. At that time, they were called Google Capital. Now they are Capital G. So Google, Axel, or I don't know if it was Google alone, Google, Axel, and of course, Tiger, I think they combined invested 31 million. So this was in 2014, April, May timeline. So we got our third round of funding by Google Capital. And by God, this was big, 31 million. And this was where we kind of went into that whole speeding up mode where because we wanted to like launch multiple products, go for larger sales teams because you wanted to be global. So you had to have a US office, you needed to have Europe office, UK, maybe Australia and all.
By this time, what is your user base now from 10,000? Where has it moved and what was your revenue?
So I think we hit 25,000 customers.
Okay.
It was almost like 20,000. So okay. in June 2014, when we got the next round, I think we were around 20,000 customers.
Okay.
And so I think at this time when we got the Google Capital funding is where Girish thought of like, hey, we need to make it bigger with a bigger office in Chennai and globally. Because if you want to play in the Wall Street or in the Bay Area market, you need to have a presence in the US because US was our biggest market. And we were playing in that SMB segment, the small medium business, which was working very good for us. Because even today, our SMB team, which reaches out to our customers and reaches out to these prospects, it's like one of the the easiest team because the lead or the prospect trials out the product. And basically, these are not people who are heavy on they cannot afford the Salesforce or the Zendesk or the Oracles of the world because they cannot afford like $100,000 with their small business or their medium business or a startup business. But they need software, they need support, they need customer support, they need CRM. So our SMB customers were actually helping us a lot with that. So that's where our 20,000 customers came into play. But it was time to kind of go to the big league because now we had two products. One was Freshdesk, and Fresh Service is an enterprise ready product, right? Mm-hmm. So ITIL is an enterprise process. So we had to go the mid-market way or the enterprise way. So that's where we launched our office in San Francisco. So that's where our president Dilawar Syed joined us. So he actually was introduced to us by Tiger Global. I think Tiger had invested. So he was we were lucky to have him managing the US operations. We hired our first director of our VP of marketing, Jill Soli, and he started setting up the US channel because in order to sell in the US, you kind of you have to be there, you have to meet these businesses. Enterprise discussions, even though it is a SaaS product, still happens face to face. You still have to meet the CEO, the CRO, the CIO and pitch them. So in US, if you have to do a 100K deal or a 200K deal, it has to be still face to face. I mean, of course, now things have changed, but still. So we kind of hired or Dilawar joined us, and I think at that time he started building the US operations. Luckily for us, we got some good leadership team at that time in US also, and around by the end of the year we hit I think 30,000 35,000 customers, and I recall in 2015, we also launched our London office. So we launched an office in London where Simon Johnson, he was our general manager in London. So he joined us and he also set shop there. Near Piccadilly. So we had a small office there, and they started from the moment go. So he planned out all the, you know, territory or the market that we need to track. And I think Fresh Service was taking off very well at that time. So UK, Australia are one of the best markets for Fresh Service, because ITIL was well known then. Of course, in US, it's now a bigger thing there. But ITIL originated from UK, so he was able to capitalize on that. We were doing trade shows, we were able to do you know, Cloud World Forum events, we were able to do like ITSM events and all. In 2015, again, Google Capital, Tiger Global, Axel, they funded again another 50 million in 2015. I believe we might have hit 30,000 or 40,000 customers at that time, 2015. And that's when Shilesh launched the, he moved to Australia. So Girish was like, hey, let's now look at other regions as well. So he helped launch the Australia office. So he started off with two other folks, and they launched the office in Sydney. And I was also kind of setting up Fresh Service in India. So I was kind of itchy that, hey, I'm kind of feeling bored here, so I can't be doing that. So I asked Girish just casually that, can I move to US? And he said like, yeah, go ahead, do that. So Dilawar, he connected with me, and I think we had like he was like, yeah, this is the plan. We wish to kind of explore the mid market and enterprise. So I moved to US in around October 2015, along with the family. And then at this time only we had our first acquisition, Frilp. So they were a social recommendation AI startup. So I think the idea was like, if you like a product, you could recommend it to someone or some location based AI engine. So the company was called Frilp. We had our first acquisition then, and another company called OneClick.io. It was by Hrishikesh Kulkarni. So I think he now runs a startup. I forgot the name, Rev Sales or Revenue Sales something. Mm-hmm. So in Bangalore. So he also joined us as a director of product, and we had Frilp, and we also acquired another company called Konator for mobile engagement. So Konator was a very good product for mobile first company. So they had these SDK that you can put into any of your existing app where you can support your customers on the mobile. So that was a good strategy, because we needed something like that for companies like Uber. So for example, if you're having some trouble, you want to quickly chat with the customer support on Uber, you could just have the Konator SDK to start chatting and you could chat with them. So that's the product now, which is rebranded as Fresh Chat, which is one of the most happening products within Freshworks now. So we had the acquisition with Konator, and then I moved to US. So at this time, we also brought in our VP of sales, Bobby Jafari, in US. So I'm like, at that time, we had a lot of like a major hiring in Chennai. So we had our senior VP STS Prasad join us. So STS has a lot of experience from Amazon and you know, Walmart Labs. So he brought in a lot of process change, and like there was a huge change in the way we were moving the whole code development. Like, we had like 4 or 5 products at this time. So he was kind of bringing a whole revolution in bringing all these VPs and directors and doing a whole lot of changes. And we are now shipping code in a much faster way. thanks to STS. We then hired, of course, Nishant. He joined us as the COO in 2015. But unlucky for us, he was called back and he went to Sequoia Capital to manage their fund. So Nishant actually left us, and we got some good folks in our HR side. We got now Suman ji, and we had Sid Malik, who is our CRO now, and we also hired in our marketing, and you can see, in the last 1 year, the growth has been phenomenal. So all the leadership team, and now we have the ex CFO of Zora, who's joined us as the CFO. We also had our Chief Product Officer Prakash, who joins from he's in our US office, so he works closely with Girish. And at that time, also I forgot, Europe, our biggest growth is happening in Europe, where we had Arun Mani. He is our European managing director, so he joined us in 2015. So 2015, we had a huge hiring spree with the C-level. So 2015, 2016, we also started doing acquisitions with, as I said, Konotor, Chatimity, Framebench, Airwood. So many startups we got them at. And these were not people acquisition, these were all technology acquisition as well, heavily, because of course they were talented folks, and it made sense to the product portfolio, because we launched Fresh Chat, which was a chat product, so we needed something chat level. We were launching Fresh Sales, our CRM, so we needed a CRM platform which could tie into machine learning, so we needed heavy ML AI products to acquire. We were also doing bots, so then we acquired Johukum, another bot startup. So these are all strategic, and we were able to acquire these organizations for the right talent and for the right product. And in 2017 or 2018, I think in 2018 we had another round of funding, 100 million or 125 million. Axel and Sequoia, they invested another 100 million. And luckily for us, and this is public news, so in 2018 we crossed our 100 million revenue mark. So we announced that publicly, and that's where our global growth took place. So we launched office in Berlin, we launched office in London, we also launched in Netherlands, Amsterdam, we have a remote office in Paris, we also launched in Sydney, Melbourne, and now, just last year, we launched office in Denver, Colorado, and of course, SFO. So the growth has been in the 2018-2019 phase. That is where we hired more and more people. And last year we had I think another office in Paris. That's where I think last year we launched a Paris office. And we kind of are now in this phase where not only Chennai, Bangalore was another remote office with engineering talent, Hyderabad, another office with close to, I think, 40 people now. We have a sales office, sales, pre-sales, marketing in Delhi, Gurgaon, or Delhi or Noida, I believe so. I don't know the exact location. I think Noida. So we are now at this phase where we are growing so fast that I think we have hit 3,000 people now globally. And even our US office is now, I think, close to 150 people. So when I moved back because of my visa. So in 2018, my visa move from L1B to L1A got rejected. So luckily, I came back to Chennai, and I was clueless on what to do. So I had no idea what I was going to do, because the company was so big, and I was like, what am I going to do now? So luckily then Shri Krishnan, so he was like, dude, I'm struggling with Fresh Chat product. So the product is launched, and I don't know, we just have these four or five people. How do we do this? So I was like, okay, yeah, it's an opportunity. So let's look at Fresh Chat. So so I started with the team. I think when I came in, there were four or five people. And when I left, I think, I left in last year again, I think 18 people or something. So we got some good kids again, good team camaraderie there, and the product is doing really well. Shri Krishna actually left. During that time, I met Srilesh at an annual event for the company. Like every year, we have the board of directors meeting. So Srilesh was like, dude, I'm struggling in the Australia region. Why don't you come? He convinced me somehow. So because we go long back, even during the Zoho days. So we go long back. So he was telling me. So he's like, you just think about it. We could use your help. So my second daughter was born in April, Disha. So and then I started preparing for the next journey. So I think I came in October or September or something, and the family, I brought them over in October. So now we are settled here.
It's time for a short break. I asked Vijay if the growth of Freshworks in Europe, which according to him contributed significantly to the overall growth of the company, came from SMBs or large corporations. He candidly shares the secret behind the spectacular growth of Freshworks, and we will hear it in his own words as we come back. Stay with us.
You are listening to a Business Podcast Network original. Podcasting is the fastest growing content marketing opportunity, which is untapped. We can help you craft your audio strategy and help leverage the wide reach and easy streaming capability that the smartphone penetration provides. It is easy, it is powerful and personal. Talk to us to find out how podcasting can help you build your brand and reach out to your targets like never before. Write to us at bpn@bizcast.in. That is bpn@bizcast.in. Business Podcast Network. Podcasts end to end.
Welcome back. Right before the break, I asked Vijay what led to their spectacular growth in Europe. Let's hear what he has to say on that. So two quick questions. One is that you said that you had a great growth in Europe. So was that led by SMBs or was it SMBs and enterprise both?
Both. So this is a huge factor. Even mid-market and enterprise customers, they can afford small to start off. So one of the key things with Freshworks products is that you can start small within a big organization. So even if you look at some of the big logos on the website like American Express or Discover, Sling TV, Dish TV, or even Indian companies like PhonePe or all these organizations, right? They all started small. Because one of these IT or one of these CRM members or sales heads, they can start off small, and seeing them adopt, so the small team uses Freshdesk or Freshservice, seeing that this team is doing so well, these larger teams start jumping into the product.
Right.
So now that's where the growth goes big for Freshworks, because the product can start small and you can grow up to thousands of people. So like Discover Credit Cards is like a major credit card company in US. Mm-hmm. They process close to like 2 million customer records in a day. Mm-hmm. And this is like subscription, joining mm-hmm. credit cards, getting a new credit card transactions and going through support and all that. So they started small with the product and they grew up to like 2,000, 3,000 seats or something like that. So and these are all testimonials that are available on the website. So companies start small with 10 users, 25 users, and seeing these teams do well, other teams also jump into the Freshworks bandwagon. So that becomes easier. Yeah. And with the ecosystem that we have built, a company which is using Freshdesk for customer support can easily plug and play a CRM product. So sales and support can collaborate. So if you are calling a bank and let's say you have an issue with the product let's say the customer support rep has no clue on what product you have, what subscription you have, what is your home loan, won't you feel bad? So that's where Freshworks ecosystem comes into play. So when a sales rep is taking a phone call, they get a complete customer 360 when the call comes in. Or when a support member is taking a phone call from a customer on a customer issue, they can see that, oh, looks like your credit card transaction had failed or something like that happened, which I can see in my CRM record. So that kind of ecosystem has been built with the product without having to develop or without having to customize, right? So these companies see that, wow, this kind of ecosystem is what we want, because I don't have to go for a separate budget for a consultant. Like if you ask the same to a company to say that, hey, you know what, we have to implement Oracle Service Cloud or SAP, they have to finalize budget, IT has to go and see, talk to the CRO or the CFO saying like, hey, we have to implement a product which is going to cost us $1 million. Even though the budget for IT is only $500,000, can you do something? The CFO is not going to be happy about it. They are going to outright reject that. That's not the case with Freshdesk products. You can start small. You can start free. It could be a $500 which the company can afford within the budget. And then seeing the adoption, seeing the return on investment, they keep on adding more and more agents. That's how we have grown the business, and that's how companies have adopted. And that's the core within the product, keeping it simple for every organization. So that's the vision and mission, right? So the vision of the company is providing those wow moments by providing those, by ensuring that you enable every organization of every size.
Right. And today, just if you come to today, what is the mix or what is the ratio of enterprise versus SMB, MSME?
I still would say it's 60-40. 60 is SMB, 40 is our mid-market enterprise. But we are seeing the mid-market enterprise growth big at this time because organizations are cutting cost with respect to IT because when you have such some sadder things like these happen, the first thing the organization is going to do is unfortunately is looking at cutting cost, resources and all that. And now that people are waking up to this remote work from home opportunity, they have no option but to adopt to cloud. On-premise business is almost dead at this time because organizations cannot afford VPN. For VPN, you have to pay additionally $1,000 per each user per year. You cannot have everybody productive on VPN. So organizations are looking to move to cloud. So that's where cloud businesses are adopting well, and organizations can be in a pay-as-you-go model. So today, if during this pandemic time, if I have to have 100 license, after the pandemic, maybe I can reduce a bit. So I can go for 50 licenses. I can reduce it or I can increase it as I want. Because call centers at this time with a bank will go haywire. Everybody wants to have their licenses increased. Like everybody wants to take out money. They're having issues with transactions. Like one of our product, Freshcaller, is having so much of inquiry now because every organization wants to move to the cloud with their telephony. They cannot afford Cisco. If they go with Cisco or some other cloud-based telephony product or let's say on-premise IPBX, they definitely have to have a person. They definitely need to bring in a consultant. They have to have the bandwidth. But everybody is sitting remote at their house. So they are. You could see how Zoom went during this time, right? There was a time where Microsoft Teams crashed. So that's where the whole growth is changing. So organizations which adopt to cloud early on are some which could easily provide that channel for these remote employees or work from home employees. So that's where Freshworks product can be in a plug and play model. And we don't say that, hey, you have to rip and replace. We can coexist. That's where our APIs and integrations are made easily, where it can be a plug and play or connect and play. So if an organization is using Oracle, we have built integrations with Oracle. Right. So it's not or SAP. You could be using SAP. SAP could be your ERP where you have your entire HR process, everything inside SAP. That is fine. You can still use Freshservice. All you have to do is just pass on the information.
Right. Wonderful. So where do you think your revenue and user base will be by end of this year, given the current scenario?
User base, I know that we have more than 100,000 customers now. So still that is going by. Revenue, I cannot share that at this time, but I know it is increasing, and it is something that our CRO is focused on because we have to go public soon, down the line, a year or two from now. So definitely we have a heavy focus, but we are still seeing that the SMB and the mid-market engines are something which are really guiding us without losing the core focus. So because when organizations tend to go enterprise or mid-market, they tend to lose focus on the SMB side. So that's where Girish's vision is very clear, that whatever we build, it's should, it's something used for everybody. We will not lose the focus that, because for mid-market customers, it's heavy on APIs and integration. Hmm. Whereas for SMB customers, it's the usability and the UI experience, right? Which the mid-market customers also like. They want to have a clean product. They want to have a nice UI. So apart from the revenue side of things, I cannot comment much on that or share much. But the growth is happening. And luckily for us, the good C-level folks that we have who have the vision that, that Girish and Shan share. So even our leadership team is really focused on ensuring that we don't like overkill the product with too many asks. Even prioritization at the product level happens that, hey, if we are doing 10 features this week, five of those features will be used by our enterprise customers. Five of these could be used by our SMB customers. And so the growth is in both the sectors. And that's where Girish makes this joke, right? The Fortune 500 or the Fortune 1000. What about the unfortunate 1000 or the unfortunate millions of companies which cannot afford the Oracles of the world or the Salesforce of the world? Who will take care of them? So that's where Freshworks comes into picture. So even today, our SMB customers, I go through tickets and all, and I see the tickets in the support portal. Like I make sure that you know, whatever feedback they share, we should post it. And it's not like, you know, just take them for granted. That's not the truth. So even a free customer gives a criticism, that must be taken. So sometimes Girish also replies on Twitter or Facebook when someone says, hey, your product is not signing up, or we are having some trouble with the registration, or hey, I put my credit card by mistake. So Girish will go and tweet saying like, hey, we are so sorry. So That's the whole ethos of the company, keeping yourself humble. And that's what Girish calls a company that is employee first, customer driven, right? So this he even shared in the shareholders meeting. So there was an AMA with the shareholders and you know, the board of directors and all. So the shareholders were sitting on the one side and employees were sitting, and Girish was here like, what I'm going to say is going to be hated by this side and is going to be loved by this side, because like, we want to build a company which is loved by everyone, but it should be the employee first. So that's where like Girish is the whole idea of like, you know, making sure that everybody has a happy work environment. So the emphasis is on happy work, right? So the culture code is around the happiness factor, where you kind of are enjoying what you're doing. So everybody in the organization knows that they can approach anyone to kind of like, you know, hey, I need some guidance. Please tell me what I can do. Like, and Girish has this penchant for finding the right talent. So he will know that this person is best suited for sales, or this person is best suited for marketing or GTM activity. So he easily identifies that, and he will just like, you know, just talk to this person. You will do well. So, but of course, now at this scale, it is very difficult for him, because he has bigger picture to focus on. But the one thing is, the people who are in the leadership, they also carry the same focus of not just the company growth, not just the revenue growth, but also the people growth. So luckily for us, we have Sumanji from in our HR. So she is helping us build that whole employee HR gap, and you know, like making sure. So she runs the AMA sessions and all hands session, where she is answering questions. So we also have something called as a Vox Pop, where we talk about like you know, every 3 months or something, like what is happening in the organization. How are we growing? So Girish handles that. So and also we have some good administration folks. So like every Wednesday, of course, before the pandemic and also, we used to have this biryani. So in Tamil Nadu, biryani is a huge hit, right? So of course in Hyderabad also, the famous Hyderabadi biryani. So our admin folks will get like these special biryani makers from Ambur or something like that, and they'll like, that'll be a surprise, that'll be like a wow moment for the employees. So everywhere within the organization, there'll be a wow moment, right? So not only just for customers, all of a sudden I log into the product and I'll see a new feature and we'll be like, wow, where is this coming from? So it's not just the product wow, it's also in the organization wow. So during when this time like everything happened, so Girish was like, you know, let's do something better for the company. Let's give everybody work chair where they can order at home, and they should relax and work. So Girish was like, let's go ahead and sanction that. So everybody was like, wow, that's what I wanted. So right. we had some admin folks help there. So we are delivering these wow moments in every phase.
I mean, these are all like positive. What were some of the major blunders you think, or if there is one major blunder you think, whether it's acquisition or some path or some product development, or do you recall anything at all?
So blunders, we made a lot of blunders with our, it's not blunders, it's just learnings, right?
Right.
So when we invested in certain events or strategies, if we did not have the right ROI, that will not be called a blunder.
Sure.
So that's
experimentation.
Yeah, exactly. That's the beauty. So it's an experimentation. So luckily for us, at every mode, we had the leadership team taking decisions. And we have some of these culture codes that comes natively, right? So we have a culture code called disagree but commit. So you can disagree on something, but you should commit to the discussion. So I love that, because I will bring some idea and the other person will disagree. But at the end, is it going to result in the customer happiness? Then yes, let's go ahead and commit. So we will make some experimentation where we might bring in some new AdWords campaign. It might, or not just a campaign, it could be a something of a campaign. Like we could do some local event where we would expect 100 footfall, but only 20 will come. Like, yeah, that's an experimentation. We spent 1 lakh there. Should we do it? No, we will choose some other venue. We will do another event, maybe in Bangalore. Instead of doing it in Hyderabad or some other location, we'll do it in Bangalore at maybe a different venue where we can see a better footfall.
Sure.
So we have done a lot of experimentation. I wouldn't call these as blunders. And that's where I think the organization should not feel that, hey, it's a blunder. So and luckily for us, we have had people back us up, right? So even if we, rip-off or not, was something that we took a gutsy move. Like, not many organization would spend $5,000 on an ad word which could backfire on you, right? So, but we went ahead and we took some flack, that is okay. But at the same time, that was a viral marketing for us. And people started noticing us, and we got more leads from that. So it's an experimentation. We hired in Bangalore, we hired a cold calling company which could call these outbound leads to kind of reach out. So they will get the leads from Better Business Bureau or something like that. I don't know, not Better Business Bureau in US, but some companies which could sell leads. So we'll pay them $5,000 where they'll give us 5,000 leads, and this company will do auto dialers. And once they connect to the lead or the prospect, they will connect to the sales rep. So we spent $5,000, but the ROI was $200-$300. So that's, I would not call it as a blunder. That's an experimentation.
Sure.
So a lot of these things, we had some money spent, but that was a learning. So now we know that is not way the outbound works. It's a different SDR model. So outbounding has to be done in a very different way. You make LinkedIn connections and then you do the outbound effort. Because if you imagine, in Europe, GDPR, right? So you can't even cold call someone. You have to be friends with them. You have to have their acceptance to even say hi to them, something like that. So those are all experimentations which we found out and we did. And it was expensive, but at the end, it was fruitful.
So what would you say is your takeaway, that if a young company is trying to build the pre-sales and customer support function, they're actually two different functions. What should, according to you, what should they focus on?
So what I have seen is finding the right people and ensuring that you train them in the like how you will groom yourself. If I am to join a new organization, and if let's say I'm given the task that you have to build this team, first thing I will do is, of course, get myself trained, get into the customer's shoes, understand the product. If I am to groom the next person, I will kind of find the right fit, like who will be the right like buddy or like not treating them as one of these employees, like your colleagues who has to learn from you, and make them learn by doing with you. So because I have seen that people make emotional connections when you are with them, when you are listening to their when you kind of are being scolded by a customer, you take the scoldings with them, like, hey, your support guy screwed up. Hey, that's okay, but it was my fault. I was the one who told him to do it like that. Don't take it on him. The blame is on me. Hey, your guy did a great job. Yes, I taught him that. That's why he's, I mean, not that I taught him that, so the praise should come to me. But yes, I love this person because they completed the job to my satisfaction and to the customer satisfaction, and they got the reward, right? So when it is a reward, give it to that person. When it is a blame, take it on you. So they kind of trust you and they know that you have their backing. So you have to build that kind of relationship with the team, and learning is very important. So like how often, even if you have to pester the CTO or the product manager, that's okay. Go and learn the product from them, make mistakes, and don't be scared to ask questions, to thinking like, oh, this person is going to be offended if I go and ask them the question. That's not the case. This person will guide you, maybe saying that, hey, I'm not the right person to help you with this. I have someone else who can guide you, but at least you can get some guidance. So learning is very, very important, and finding the right people and ensuring that you have their backing, that you can back them up when things go wrong, which is very, very essential, so they can trust you, and ensuring that their growth path is, because only if this person grows, you will grow to the next level. Because if you have to grow to the next level, you are vacating this spot. So you have to kind of get this person into that. So where are we today? Where do you want to be? How are you going to get there? That's the whole idea that we need to kind of share with them. And it is going to be tough. But let's say if there is a pre-sales team, or if you have to hire a pre-sales team which has a target of 1 million, I'm just saying, for the year 2020, how many people do I need to even get to 1 million? Let's say, do I need 5 people where each and every person, 1 million is the ARR, I'm just guessing, I'm just speculating. Yeah. So you need to have at least 10 people who can take you to that, taking at least 100,000 hit per person, which is going to be like a 12K, close to 10K. Per month. So everybody has to bring in $10,000. So like, how can we train them? What kind of leads can we give them? What kind of demos can they do? How do we make the demo interactive? How can we make that person learn from doing that? Like storytelling, teach them how they should tell stories and not just do mundane demos. So because everything is storytelling at the end of the day. So what I gave you was a Freshworks story. So someone can do the same about the product. Like, hey, I'm doing this. Do you want to do this? That's the story. So how can we get that, because everybody loves to listen to story. It could be a gossip, it could be a real life story, but that is okay. As long as it's a story, everybody enjoys that. So how can we get that culture into the mind? And the trust factor is very, very important. And also getting that, whatever you're doing, whatever this person is doing, it should be like they should be happy doing this. It should be like, for example, my wife also scolds me that, like, what are you doing? There is no job. There is no work on Saturdays and Sundays. Why are you working in front of the computer? Because I like going into the system, going through tickets, like is anyone saying anything? Is there something interesting? So I like doing that. So because I love the Freshworks side of things, doing the Freshworks story. So sharing that with customers. So that's my love. So which my wife hates. So I like doing that. So that's how passion comes for a company. Sure. Or for a product. It should not be just a mundane, 9 to 5, because I have some, I don't want a name or anything, but I have, like, because here it's very strict. Like, even in US, I haven't seen that. In Australia, people shut off their phone after 5 o'clock. They don't even take out their work phone, and they are like, you should not disturb me after 5 p.m. But I was like, yesterday 9 o'clock night, I was taking a customer call and I was like helping them migrate. So I was like happily doing that. The other team, this other fellow was, he was not replying to emails. I was like, okay, just forget it. That's not their passion, but this is my passion. So how do we bring that passion? If I do this, my team members are automatically going to get that. They're like, hey, this guy is doing this. Why shouldn't I be doing that? So that's how you bring that culture. That's how you should do that. Like, you do it in front of your team. Your team sees that, oh, this is a motivational time for me. I should be motivated seeing my manager or my team member. And then you give them the story that, hey, you know why I'm doing that? Because I want you to come into my position because I have to move to the next level.
Yeah.
So that's where, that's what you want. Like, you want to set the career path for them because everybody wants to grow. Everybody wants to earn. But at the end, are they happy doing that? What makes you happy? I'll help you.
SaaS Stories is brought to you by PitchLink, the buyer-seller engagement platform. PitchLink enables high-quality interactions between buyers and sellers through presentation and discussion modules. Sellers create personalized sales presentations and reach out to prospects through a non-intrusive, buyer-qualified engagement. PitchLink requires no installation or download and holds the entire repository of sales collaterals and buyer-seller conversation. Talk to us to know more about how you can engage with customers without intrusion. Call us on 990-216-3132. That is 990-216-3132.
Vijay, that's a wonderful note to end this chat. It has been wonderful talking to you.
Sure. Thank you, Subhanin. Really great to talk to you. And yeah, thank you so much. You asked some questions that I cannot answer, but you will see them in the news soon.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you.
Coming up in the next episode is another riveting and data-rich conversation with Neeraj Ranjan Raut, co-founder of Hiver. We have a fantastic lineup over the next couple of weeks with great conversations with Rishi Kulkarni, Karthi Mariappan, and Shruti Kapoor.
Thank you for being with us today and listening to this episode of SaaS Stories. This is where I speak with the dreamers and visionaries who dared to think ahead and build world-class SaaS products. We hope this conversation helped you with the insights that you can go and apply right now to your own SaaS journey. We hope to have you here with us again in the next episode of SaaS Stories. SaaS Stories is brought to you by PitchLink, the buyer-seller engagement platform. SaaS Insider, the definitive community for global SaaS, and is a BizCast original production.